Blog Talk Radio.
Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, it's time for the clarion call.
Jonathan Simmons, and we thank you and thank the Lord for allowing us to broadcast to you again another episode of the Clarion Call. And once again, as we are wont to do here, we are live on the scene bringing you this little special edition of the Clarion Call as we are at the Big Data event here in Atlanta. It's called Big Data Week Atlanta, and it's part of a tremendous data analytics conference that actually goes on in multiple cities across the world, and Atlanta's is having theirs this week. It runs through May the 5th through the 10th, and it is the primary point of the events are at the Georgia Tech Research Institute right here in Midtown Atlanta. And of course, Georgia Tech is one of the world-renowned institutions for knowledge and learning, especially in the technical aspect and the technical discipline. So, again, we are right here, right smack in the middle of it. We're going to go in after we finish our broadcast to a session teaching us how to become a developer or a data scientist. And since we do most of our broadcasts here online and do a lot of social media work, we thought it would not be robbery to come out and glean the knowledge that is being distributed here at these events. You can follow us, of course, as you know, on social media, speaking of that, facebook.com/WRTSFM. You can also follow us on Twitter, at WRTSFM, if you want to follow the radio and TV station. And if you want to follow me personally, you can find me at Minister J. Sim. Not Simmons, just at Minister J. Sim, and you will find me, and you can tweet me, and I'll tweet you back. Well, you know, the topic of our program today is one that might be a little bit provocative. It is basically God and technology. Can they coexist? And as we move rapidly forward each and every day on the society that is becoming more and more wrapped in and intertwined with their technology, the question now is the one that's come up across the ages. Can God coexist in a highly skilled and highly technological society? Is he going to be pushed on the side as more and more things that, you know, we almost kind of put in his bailiwick, we now are able to do and to understand on our own? And as these things happen, the question is, are we going to see people move away from God? Well, I say, really, if you are a great lover of God, you should be able to use the technology and see it for what it is, a gift from God. And vice versa, if you're a technological person, certainly you should be able to find a great love and respect for the one who is the giver of all of the wisdom and understanding it requires to have the technology we have today. It's very interesting. One of the things that these big data weeks really talk about quite a bit is coding. You know, how you can use coding and data to make analysis to better run your business, to better even run government entities. And even earlier today, I was at a session where it talked about how data analysis and how the intelligent application of data analytics actually help the police department solve a crime. So certainly the technology is not the problem. The problem sometimes is us. Sometimes we have a tendency to apply technology and to apply knowledge without the mores and the understandings and the guidelines that is given by the one who actually is the founder, as I mentioned earlier, the giver of all wisdom and knowledge. So that's really where the disconnect comes. Let's look at some biblical scriptures here, because I think also, and some people might be listening to this for the first time, this might be even your first exposure in a while to anything relating to Christianity or even religion. And people have said all kinds of things about religion. People have called religion the opium of the people. We certainly heard that. I believe it was Karl Marx that might have made that statement. Google me up, folks, in case I'm wrong. And I think sometimes people believe that if you are a person of faith, that somehow that you're a dummy or somehow that you're scared of technology or you don't have an understanding. Well, let's take a look at some biblical scriptures here and see if we can give you just that, some understanding that, in fact, God is all about you getting wisdom and you getting an understanding. Let's go here and look in the book of Proverbs. And I got to tell you, if you're a person who's, again, a techie person, and or even if you're not a techie person, if you really want to get an idea of God's opinion on knowledge and on being bright and on applying your wisdom and knowledge to make your life better, look and read the book of Proverbs, because that book, all it talks about is wisdom and understanding. Okay? Let's do this. Let's look in the second chapter of Proverbs, and we're going to start with verse number 11. Proverbs, second chapter, verse 11. And this is what it says. It says, discretion, I'm reading out of the King James Version, shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. Let me read that in a more contemporary English version, Newer American Standard Bible. It says, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Now, verse 11, where I started before, discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man that speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and who rejoice in the perversity of evil. Okay, so right off the bat, God ties wisdom and understanding with a sound moral compass. What he's saying to you, if you really tell me, or if you really say that you have insight, if you really have wisdom, then the first thing it will do for you is it will keep you from people who are doing things that are wrong. And isn't that really one of the biggest problems in our world right now, is that people have taken this gift of technology and they've misused it. Any of those of you who are very active in social media and do a lot of online stuff, well, what's the big bugaboo right now? Your privacy, people having access to your information, to your personal data. Thieves of people's whole persona. We know that's a big problem in terms of security, identity theft. Imagine that. Your identity now has been transformed into data, and people are taking that data and misusing it. So what does wisdom do? Well, wisdom, first of all, has created firewalls. Wisdom has created passwords and encryptions. That's what wisdom does, because wisdom now has now countered the misuse of technology. Isn't that great? So it's really amazing how God has given us these great things, but yet nevertheless, people always try to use them for evil. Let's go actually in the very first chapter of Proverbs, very first chapter. And I'm going to read here and start with the second verse. It says this, let me start with the very first verse of the first chapter of Proverbs, first book of Proverbs. It says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Wow. Isn't that something? And now if you skip down to verse 7, here's what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, that's pretty cool. What it's saying is that when you actually are able to give yourself over to God's instruction, that's when wisdom and knowledge actually begins. And why is that? Again, because it's always tied to those things which are upright. Those things are always looking towards the needs of others, just instead of simply looking towards your own needs. So that's the thing that's really great. God is the ultimate coder. There's nobody that can code like God. Because think about it. What is probably the most complex yet beautiful code, no demand? DNA that God created in each and every one of us that sets the template for who we are, the color of our eyes, the shape of our bodies, the color of our hair, all that God implanted in this dramatic and intricate and beautiful code that makes up human beings, even the ability to think. Right now, we're spending a lot of time here again looking at data analytics, and now you have a company here, actually one of the companies who is the platinum sponsor, and hopefully I'll pronounce their name correctly, MCN. I went to their seminar, and they talked about having, again, the ability to take information and turn it into numbers, which eventually will make a code and eventually will make a pattern of behavior that can be analyzed. And as I mentioned, used properly for the good, actually able to predict behaviors of criminals without getting into a lot of detail. They actually were able to use this technology to help foil crime and actually help solve crime, both in the case of domestic crime and in also in some terrorist activity. So, again, there's nothing wrong with technology, nothing wrong with wisdom. It is totally compatible with God Almighty. God wants you to be discreet. God wants you to be a person who is a wise person. Let's go to the New Testament. Since many people listen, they say, wait a minute, what does Jesus say? What does it say in the New Testament? Well, let's take a look at the book of James, one of the apostles, and let's get their handle on this idea of wisdom. And just bear with me as I pull it up here. Speaking of technology, the nice thing here is I can go ahead and look it up on my laptop. Let's go here to the first book of James, and we'll skip down to verse number 5, I believe it is. Yes, it is. One of my favorites, James 1 and 5. Reading first from the King James Version, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And what am I saying there? Simply is this. If you read that in the plain English version, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Well, there it is right there in a nutshell. God wants us to be wise. He wants us to be people who have an understanding of what is going on in this world. He doesn't want us to stick our head in the sand. He doesn't want us to be afraid of technology. So for those of you listening, and for those of you who believe that technology and God cannot be compatible, you're wrong. The only way technology can really be brought out to its ultimate good is when it's balanced by the will of God and the love of God to looking out to using the technology for the good of mankind. Well, this is a shortened episode today because, again, we are broadcasting live from Big Data Week here in Atlanta. But we wanted to make sure that we gave you the Clarion Call broadcast. We hope that these few minutes will give you some meditation and motivation to continue to grow in the grace of God. But for those of you listening who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I implore you, please, ma'am, please, sir, take this opportunity to get to know God for yourself, and you will find that by repenting of your sins and coming to the understanding that Jesus has died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, you will find that your life has meaning far beyond anything that you would have ever imagined. And you will find that Jesus Christ loves you more than anyone, more than your mom, more than your dad, more than grandmom, even more than auntie. So we again implore you, please, ma'am, please, sir, get to know Jesus Christ for yourself. Well, as we do, as we close each and every episode, we say God bless you and good night. We leave you with Casting Crowns, letting you know that when you come to Jesus, he will cast your sins as far as from the east as to the west. Good night, and God bless. From you leaving me this way, Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't